Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As the Chiefs were on their bye, did a lot of scanning around the league yesterday. Well, what else is happening around the NFL?
A lot of self-scouting or individual scouting?
It was more opponent scouting than self-scouting. I leave the self-scouting, you know, at least over the weekend to the Chiefs. We can self-scout back when they're back at practice, right? We can all get back to be experts on the Chiefs. But it was like looking around and seeing New England just does New England. Catches all the breaks, does all the things right. Pretty tough to beat at home.
That's an understatement, brother.
Weather totally favors them. But they do get a bunch of breaks in this one.
And the phantom tripping
nonsense that was going on. Completely ridiculous.
Especially that last one. Like, that was just incredibly bad on Fredrickson or whatever that guy's name was. Like, what?
Well, they say there are 4 tripping calls all year, 3 in that game.
Yeah. In the NFL, in the NFL. Like, that's not a penalty that gets called a lot.
It's just silly.
Offensive lineman goes to plant his leg, and they flag him for tripping. It's bizarre how things in that stadium. And then Tom Brady has the gall to complain about 1 second being left on the clock at the end of the game where he threw it out of bounds.
Yeah, I don't know why that they were debating that was a bad call. He threw it 20 yards out of bounds, essentially, right?
Right.
So I'm like, well, do you stop the clock when the ball...
You're supposed to stop the clock when the ball
goes out of bounds?
No, when the ball makes contact with something out of bounds. Okay, so they're blaming that military guy who caught it and didn't let it hit the ground.
Oh, that's a smart play. Blame a military guy.
It was a military guy. I think there was a guy in uniform who caught the ball or tried to catch the ball instead of just letting it fall to the ground. And if it had fallen to the ground, the 1 second would have been taken off. But they brought Pereira on to talk about it afterwards, and he goes, yeah, they stopped the clock once that ball makes contact with something out of bounds.
But they knew the rule, and so that's why he chucked it up high.
Well, that's exactly right, They knew that rule.
Because they know every rule. It's amazing.
But again, that's why they win.
I know.
It's
they're
the little
thorough,
things.
Very detailed. You know? All those things. Man, was I hoping Dallas would score on the next play. Like, just give me a hook and lateral and just run it all over the field, go crazy.
Wouldn't that have been great?
And score.
And they didn't
even
do that.
Yeah, it was a terrible, terrible play.
But the way that New England tackled that guy prevented that hook and ladder from happening because if you go back to last year when they lost that game against the Miami Dolphins remember that game, and Gronk was playing safety? The way that they tackled that wide receiver, they had one guy on the front of him and one guy on the back of him and basically sandwiched him in to not allow
him to get rid of it, give
him the opportunity to hook and ladder it. And I saw that tackle right away, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's just the Patriots taking this whole thing to another level where they understand all the little tiny details that they have to do in order to finish off a game. And that's just the way that they are. I mean, that's why they win championships, because they know about rules that we don't even know exist and most teams don't even know exist. And that's why they're able to finish things off and figure out a way to go out there and win football games all the time.
I had firmly been in the camp of Gronk is coming back at some point in time until about 2 weeks ago. And then it was hammered home when he was teasing his Tuesday announcement. I knew it wasn't about coming back.
Right, yeah.
It was about, you know, I didn't know it was going to be about him throwing a Super Bowl rager down in Miami, but that's what it was. And he's now working for Fox. Looks like he's having fun.
Right, very nice turtleneck yesterday.
Looks like he's having a grand old time, and he says he is indeed done.
Brady set the record straight on quite a few things. Gronk, here's your chance to set the record straight. He sounds like he misses you. If Brady picks up the phone and says, Gronk, brother, I need you just down the stretch and for the playoffs. What do you say?
You know, I would tell him I love the guy, which I do. He set an example for me throughout my whole career. And there's many life lessons that not just Tom, but the whole organization has taught me to bring to the next level. The way that Tom just prepares, the way that how.
Are you going back? Are you going back?
No, no. I'm just saying. No, I'm not. But okay. I'm saying I appreciate like everything lawyer. He's done. Okay. And how he has helped me out to where I am now. But no, I'm not going back. Hey, I was going around.
As soon as you put that turtleneck on, you're done.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, man.
Exactly.
As soon as you realize that your body feels good on a Sunday, on a Monday, and a Tuesday, and a Wednesday, you're not being blamed for losing. Then you're done.
Michael Strahan joining in. Of course, Cower wears the turtleneck, so he was saying, hey, Gronk, I like the turtleneck.
Yeah.
You're indeed done.
I thought that was hysterical. Like he's going through this whole thing, and they just finally go, are you coming back or not?
That could have been the call to Brady, actually. So Brady calls him. He's talking to him. He's like, oh, Tom, I love you.
Right.
You've done some media license. Are you coming back or not, Gronk?
Right. Are you coming back or not? What's the deal here? Well, I really appreciate everything that's been done for me and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Not this season.
No, he is not coming back this season. He said it right there, which keeps – I don't care what anybody says about Antonio Brown potentially not coming back to the New England Patriots. Until this season comes and goes and Antonio Brown doesn't come back to the New England Patriots, I'm going to believe that he is going to come back to the New England Patriots. I mean, we saw it again yesterday where Mohamed Sanu was out of the game. He was not able to play yesterday. Your number one wide receiver that caught the touchdown is some rookie that you drafted number 32 overall that nobody heard of until yesterday. Obviously, Julian Edelman is still Julian Edelman, but this is a team that still needs to get better outside the numbers. They need that deep threat presence to have the ability to run that offense effectively. And right now, they just don't have that. And that's why I'm still under the impression, Josh, until I'm told otherwise, and until the league shuts it down, I still feel like there's a small crack that Antonio Brown can get through and come back to the New England Patriots. I've just seen this stuff too much in the NFL to know that the Patriots are just going to sit idly by and let the season go by without adding somebody that is going to give them help down the stretch and into the postseason.
Jay Glazer of Fox on Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, he met with the league last week, and as a result of that and an apology that he publicly made this week to Patriots owner Robert Kraft, there are teams that thought, okay, he may be on the verge of coming back. Let's pump the brakes on that. Not so fast. What I'm told is he got brought in for his interview, and it was very cooperative. But he had so much more information the NFL now needs to go run down. I'm being told it's still a few weeks away from them making a decision. And then one team said, okay, what if we sign him right now? The problem there is if you sign him now and the league decides to put him on the commissioner's exempt list, he's on your roster, and you still have to pay him, but he can't play. So we are still a few weeks away from learning the fate of Antonio Brown.
A few weeks away takes you to the middle of December. Right? That's still a few weeks away. And then you've still got, what, two regular season weeks to go, bye week, and then your playoffs start. So I still think if the NFL ultimately clears Antonio Brown, I still think he's going to be a New England Patriot. What other team is going to sign him at that point of the season, or what other team would he be willing to play for at that point of the season? I think he still has New England in his sights, and I still think New England is a legit destination if the NFL ultimately clears him in a couple of weeks, gives you two regular season games, a bye week, and then you start the playoffs, and Antonio Brown would be a huge addition for that team.
Feels like if you have the money to pay him, you would just go ahead and do it, too.
You just would.
Just to play defense.
That's right.
But maybe you don't have to. Maybe that's legitimately the only team that would bring him back at this stage anyway.
Could be, and maybe you're bidding against yourself, and at this point in time, maybe you don't have to, or you're bidding against yourself because you know he won't play for anybody else other than Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
Time's yours coming up at 8 o'clock. You'll have your chance to weigh in. Are you going to sweat the Raider game coming up on Sunday? Time's yours coming up at 8 o'clock. Coming up, Bob did tell you so. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Can't say he didn't tell us what was going to go down with the Raiders yesterday in New York against the Jets. Fesco, you were all over this thing for about 2 weeks, really.
I don't want to take a victory lap.
You had this one circled. I mean, circled.
Yeah. I'm not going to take a victory lap here, Josh, and brag on myself a little bit, so I'll allow you to do it.
Someone says, wow, I didn't see this one coming. They weren't listening to Fesco last week.
Yeah, I've been saying for the last 2 weeks they're going to go to New Jersey and lose that game to the Jets with the cross-country travel and all. And by the time they get here to Kansas City, which is why we've seen this game hyped up, you know, this week, because they know next week there's not going to be a lot of hype for the game from a national level because the Raiders are going to go out to New Jersey and they're going to lose that game at the Meadowlands.
Bob's prediction will be
Jets beat the Raiders.
Right.
Yeah, Jets will beat the Raiders.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue at 8:15 on Monday.
Correct. Okay. Absolutely. We'll give it to you a little earlier today. Yeah, the Jets are going to beat the Raiders. And yeah, they did flex it because they
had. No sense holding on to that one. I knew that. You've been pounding the table all week on that. I'm like, or 2 weeks now for that.
You got to flex, you know, 12 days out. So that's why they had to make that decision. And I just don't think it's going to be a 7-4 v 7-4 like a lot of folks want it to be, because I just don't still have confidence in the greatness of the Raiders to go across country and to win a game, because I believe they're still too young. I believe it's a look ahead game. I believe it's cross country travel. I believe it's an early start. And all of those things are factors against the Raiders trying to go out and win a football game. And
ding, 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 ding. Nailed it.
I just think
that was you last week.
Yeah, that was Friday. I just think the situation was too big for this Raiders team right now. And that's not a shot at the Raiders. That's just a discussion of reality in professional sports and collegiate sports and, you know, big level sports. When you get to a certain level and all of a sudden everybody's telling you how good you are, you know, that's when you tend to let off the gas. That's when you start to buy in. That's when you start to believe the hype. When you start to believe how good you are, that's when you ultimately fail. And I think that's where the Raiders were going into this game against the Jets. I felt like last week and even the week before, everybody was talking about the potential of the Chiefs and Raiders being 7-4 and having a showdown at Arrowhead Stadium on December 1st. And I thought to myself throughout all of that, this is still a young team in Oakland. It's a very new team in Oakland. They've got a lot of draft picks from this year's past draft that are contributing to what they're doing out there right now. Maybe in a couple of years, it's going to be a showdown at Arrowhead Stadium. But I just don't think the Raiders right now are mature enough or ready enough to make that game a big game at Arrowhead, because of all the talk that happened last week. The Raiders clearly bought in. They were looking past the Jets. And we kind of joked about it for the last couple of weeks. The Jets saying they're still alive for the playoffs. They've now won three straight. Sam Darnold looked really good. And it is extremely difficult for West Coast teams to travel east. I think the number is like 80 and 150 or something like that since 2000 for West Coast teams traveling east to play those games. They just don't normally win those games. And I just think it was the perfect storm. West going east. Young team buying into own hype, young team not ready to win, and young team looking ahead to a potential big showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs in a week instead of focusing on the task at hand. And when all of that gets kind of mixed up in the witch's brew and gets served, you see what happens yesterday.
John Gruden says they stunk.
We dropped passes. Hell, we dropped four center quarterback exchanges in the second half. We missed tackles. We missed field goals. We missed an opportunity to show our fans that came out today what kind of football team we are. Really disappointed in it. I take credit for all the things that went wrong.
Well, he's saying a lot of fans. They were gray seats at the Meadowlands. Those were not Raider fans, okay? Let's not mistake the gray seats.
I own them, man.
Because I thought the same thing. Like, look at those are empty seats. Those are all gray seats. Those weren't people wearing Raider jerseys or something like that. Those were a bunch of empty seats at the Meadowlands. But the Raiders just played terribly yesterday. I mean, the drop passes early on in that game kind of set the tone. And then John Gruden did the right thing, but when was the last time you saw a quarterback or a coach pull his quarterback and running back and a lot of his starters midway through the third quarter of a game in November where you still have an opportunity to play for something? That's what happened yesterday. The Raiders quit on that game yesterday, and hopefully that leads to them quitting on the rest of the season.
Derek Carr already thinking about getting housed by the Chiefs.
Well, yeah, and we better show up or they're going to beat us by 50, you know? They're a really good football team, one of the best in the NFL, so hopefully our guys, myself included, when we show up to Arrowhead, you know, a week from now, we're ready to go, and I believe that we will be.
Yep, you're losing.
I mean, I hope we are, I believe we will.
I mean, good Lord willing, I hope we can play in Kansas City.
Doesn't sound good.
The Vegas line has come out. The Chiefs are a 10-point favorite. They opened as a 10-point favorite at home against a divisional opponent that 24 hours ago, everybody was talking about the potential of 7-4 and this huge game at Arrowhead, and the Chiefs come in as a 10-point favorite in that game on Sunday. That tells you what Vegas is thinking about this game. It is going to be a runaway for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I hope you're right. I still have a strange suspicion that them getting blown out turns into a closer than expected game coming up on Sunday.
It all depends on how you handle it. And being such a young team, I don't know how they're going to handle that. I don't know how Gruden's going to handle that. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it is a quick turnaround, too, because you got to fly back east again if you're Oakland. I mean, they're flying more miles this year than any other team in the NFL. They're like going twice around the equator or something like that with the equivalency of how many miles they're flying. I mean, they're doing a hell of a distance. So you go from Jersey back to Oakland, back to Kansas City. I mean, it's a lot of travel and I think a lot of adversity that they're facing right now, being a young team, not knowing how to handle it, and the Chiefs coming off a bye, and that's a factor as well. I think part of the line being so high going into this week's game, Josh, is everybody knows Andy Reid's a freaking genius coming off a bye. He is going to roll the Raiders so bad. He is going to destroy John Gruden so bad that the Raiders are going to go back to California with their head between their tail going, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, please stop the beatdown," because the Chiefs are going to absolutely own these guys on Sunday.
Chiefs still have a chance at the two seed if you see I think the Chiefs still lose in New England. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm not planning going to Foxborough. In fact, at this point in time, I wish they weren't playing this in the regular season. Like, I don't want to have either way, the if you win, you know, Belichick, you know, the you know, Belichick's gonna scheme you different in the postseason.
Sure.
And two, what if you go and lose? Then you're just like, oh, it's impossible to win there. I'd rather almost not have it. Just like have it in the postseason and not the regular season. But it's there. So I'm chalking that one up as a loss. But I feel like they can win out otherwise, which would put them at five losses. Mm-hmm. The Ravens enter tonight's game, the Monday night game, at the Rams with two losses. So they need three. I'm penciling they need to get three losses in their stretch in order for the Chiefs to have a shot at the bye. And I don't know that I see them giving up three games. If they're the team that they're supposed to be,
sure.
I don't see them giving up. They have a tough stretch at Rams, home against the Niners, at Bills.
Right.
Their next three.
Those are their next three games. Good Lord.
Who knows what the Jets are then the week following.
Right.
If the Jets are still on the path of the best whatever and seven team. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just keep rolling. I don't know. At the Browns, I'm not worried about that. Steelers in the final game.
Right, that could be for a playoff spot for Pittsburgh.
Maybe the Steelers have a lot to play for in that game. I don't know that I see, though, three losses for the Ravens, which then, to me, ices out the two seed.
I have not been more intrigued by a Monday Night Football game since last
Monday
night.
Oh, I'm rooting for the Rams, like, though. I'll get out tonight.
I've never rooted for the Rams to do anything. I've hated the Rams since 1989 when Flipper Anderson caught a touchdown pass against the Giants and ran through the end zone and out of the Meadowlands in overtime of a playoff game. And I've despised that organization ever since that day. So I'll never root for the Rams. But tonight, I'm going to be saying, go Rams. I may put my St. Louis Rams t-shirt on and, you know, fight for the Rams. You're going to ram it all day, and we're going to ram it all night. So, I mean, that's what we got to do. You know, got to have the Rams win this football game to knock the Baltimore Ravens down and give them that third loss, because then you got the 49ers. Then you're at the Bills. Then, their schedule the rest of the way is not a cakewalk. And that's why I look at their schedule and I think in my mind yesterday as I'm watching this and thinking about the Chiefs may sneak up on some people and still may have the opportunity to grab the two seed in the playoffs. I don't think the odds are in their favor right now, but I think if you're counting the Chiefs out at this point of the year of not being able to get one of those two seeds, you're overlooking a very good football team that is now off the bye, that is healthy, and that is geared up for the final month of the season. And we know how serious Andy takes the final month of the season and how good Andy is coaching in December and how much of a benefit a good December can have for January. This is not done yet. The Chiefs are not out of the mix to get one of the top two seeds and have a bye in the first round of the playoffs. It's still very much in front of them. Going to be hard, but it's still very much in front of them.
And I think we're going to still look at that Titans game and go,
that was the game.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's going to ultimately cost them.
Sure.
But I'm rooting for the Rams tonight. Go Rams.
Yeah.
Rams host the Ravens tonight. Rams at 6-4. Ravens at 8-2. And again, we need to get the Ravens to at least five losses.
Got
to
get them to five losses.
I think you got to get them to five. You
can lose to the Rams, gives you three. Lose to the 49ers, gives you four. Who's the fifth one? At the Bills? The Bills right now, I don't know anything about, and that scares the hell out of me.
You don't even want to watch the Bills right now, right?
No, who's putting on that team, right? Like, they're 8-3.
I know.
They're 8-3, and that right now would be the Chiefs' first-round matchup. Are the Chiefs going to be able to stop Frank Gore?
Well, he's not the one you got to worry about, but Gore's still there. But they have a two running back system going on right now. It's pretty good. They run the football. They play close to the vest, low scoring games. Yeah,
those are the teams you don't want to see in the playoffs.
Yes, yeah, because you're looking ahead.
Yeah, because I absolutely am. I'm not considering the wild card round.
No, that's
maybe a mistake I should learn from the Raiders. Focus on that first.
Time's yours coming up at 8 o'clock. Your chance to weigh in. Be ready for that. Are you going to sweat the Raiders? Will be our question today. Coming up at 8 o'clock with Time's Yours. Also, a friend of the show, now former Sporting KC, now free agent, Seth Sinovic will join us coming up at 8:30. But coming up, if you were on the fence, that's done now. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
All right, if you weren't sure and you didn't think it was over, you have to think it's over now, right? The Raiders are not coming in here 7-4. They are not having a chance to eclipse you, right?
That's right.
Now, I don't think the Chiefs are losing this game. Like, all those things factoring in, the stiff arm is there. This is your opportunity to win the division.
That's right.
Yeah, to absolutely win the division. I think if they come in here at 7-4, they're feeling really good. They've taken care of business in back-to-back games, which they should have won,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Cincinnati-Jet combo. If you think you're going to contend for a division, those are games you win.
You got
to
win those games.
Those are teams you are better at or better than. You win those games. You come in here, your chest puffed out a little bit. If you're the Raiders, you think, why not us? Why not now?
Right.
And you come here to Arrowhead Stadium and put on a fight. Now it's like, I feel like the Chiefs have all the momentum. They're coming in off the bye week. They put their stiff arm out. The division's over. Now, should they have been in this position now with this game? No. They didn't take care of business at other stages. To this game shouldn't have been relevant. This game should have been the Raiders are here on December the 1st. Whoop-de-doo.
Right.
But that situation has changed because the Chiefs have put themselves in that situation. But they have the opportunity to me to throw the knockout on Sunday, division over. Now you're resetting back to those goals you had at the beginning of the year, which were how do you make yourself the best team possible for the playoffs? How do you beat the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
How do you beat the... What other team? I think now it's the Ravens. It wasn't the Ravens at the beginning of the season, but there was probably another team that you'd factor in. It probably would have been Steelers for me at that point in time, the beginning of the year. All those things that you were pointing towards then become official with the win on Sunday.
Well, I think, going into the season, this game should have just been a formality. It shouldn't have been a game that really mattered for anything. And now you look at it, and it's still a little bit of a formality, still has a little bit of meaning to it. But if you lose this game, then you're allowing the Raiders to stay alive. I don't believe the Chiefs are going to lose this
football game. And you're freaking everybody out because you can't win a game at home.
Right, that's exactly the other thing. Right, you lose another game at home,
susceptible once again at home and freak everybody out.
I mean, you lose four games at home over the course of a season. That's a big number at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs aren't supposed to lose four games.
I mean, you look at the standings
year,
now, and it looks baffling, right?
It does.
Chiefs,
yeah.
2-3 at home, 5-1 away.
Right. Yeah. Like they're doing all kinds of yeoman's work on the road.
2-4 at home, and we're all panicking, and everybody's then justifying go play playoff games on the road.
Just play everything on the road.
Nonsense. Okay.
Yeah. You want to play at home. So
this is kind of the reset for me. This is the you beat the Raiders, you finish that, you put the division out of reach, you win at home to feel confident about playing at home. You give your fans the confidence that you can win a game at home. And now you're back into what's going to happen in the postseason.
Well, and I think there is a lot riding on this game from an ancillary standpoint. I don't think there's a lot riding on this game per se from a team standpoint, but from a fan standpoint, if you lose this game, man, then fans, I think you start to lose a lot of fans, obviously, because they don't believe that you're going to win at home. They believe it's going to be the same old type of season as we talked about, last week with the Chargers. I think every game going forward until the division is clinched and we know that the Chiefs are going to be in the postseason, I think they have to go out there and kind of put on a little bit of a show for the committee. And the committee, in my opinion, is the fan base. But now I think this game signifies the end of the division on Sunday. You go out there and you win this game, the division is over for the Kansas City Chiefs. With a win, you're essentially going to have a three-game lead over the Raiders with four games to go and a big three-game lead or whatever it's going to be over the Chargers as well. That would be a wrap. Sunday is for the division, and it shouldn't have been that way. This division already should have been wrapped up. If you beat the Tennessee Titans and you find a way to at least beat Houston or Indianapolis, this division would have been over a long, long time ago. So you still have something to play for. It should have been a formality. It's not, but if you win on Sunday, then this whole thing is wrapped up, and you can go into the rest of the season looking forward of saying, all right, how do we beat the Ravens on the road? How do we beat New England at home? But more importantly, if we have to, how do we beat the Buffalo Bills if they come into Kansas City? Because the Buffalo Bills now look like the team that you're going to match up with, and a team that is sitting at 8-3. And as much as I say the Chiefs are kind of lying in the weeds right now, I think Buffalo's kind of lying in the weeds right now. And that has an opportunity to be a very good wild card round game with two teams that really, on the outside, aren't giving any credit to do any kind of damage in the AFC. But I still think the Chiefs can find a way to get out of that four spot and potentially move into that two spot if they can win out, and you can get the Baltimore Ravens to stub their toe over the next couple of weeks. There's a good opportunity for the Chiefs to still slip into that number two spot and hopefully avoid the Buffalo Bills in that first round and have a bye in a home playoff game.
Well, you mentioned being under the radar a little bit, and they are. They're kind of out of sight, out of mind, but all it's going to take is, I don't know, a trip to Foxborough.
Sure.
I
mean, Next week.
And if they were to come away with a win or maybe even a close loss, they're back in the oh my gosh dangerous category.
Right. And I think they should still be in that oh my gosh dangerous category, because I think the Chiefs right now are as healthy as they've been and hitting on all cylinders as they've been all season long. Like I think it's fair to say that this organization has not hit on all cylinders all year. Like, I don't think they've played a great game from top to bottom yet this season. What would you say is their best game of the year so far? When you look at the Chiefs from start to finish, what would you say is their best game? I would probably say it was the Jacksonville game.
The Jags game, the opener?
The first game of the season, right? I think to me that has been the best game that they played, hands down, from an offensive, defensive, special teams angle. That, I think, was their most complete game. That was back in September here,
maybe,
man.
Maybe didn't know how big the Ravens game was at the time.
Right.
But still, that was awfully early.
Yeah, that was very early in the season. And I don't know that they played their best game that day against the Ravens. They still gave up 30-some points that day, you know, to Baltimore. So it wasn't like they were, you know, knocking on the door defensively.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe the Ravens game. But I think from top to bottom, the best game that they played this year was that Jacksonville game, the most complete game that they played this year. So as we hit December and we're coming off the bye, the Chiefs still haven't played their best football, and that's a good thing. Like, in fact, that's a great thing. Like, we have not seen their best
if
yet.
If you're able to get to that gear.
Yeah, and I think they are they're healthy now.
If you continue to wait and wait and wait and don't flip the switch, it's going to be bad. But
absolutely.
I can't be just in the category going, well, they'll just turn it on at some point in time. You still do need to see it before we get to the postseason. But, yeah, from the national perspective, and are you on the radar, all it's going to take is the Foxborough trip.
Yeah.
Like, one way or another. You're in or you're in that realm of things.
Mm-hmm.
You're in with a win. It makes super intrigue for the postseason, and everybody's then giving them a chance. If you lose, it's, well, you still got to overcome that hurdle.
Correct.
Which is fair, yeah.
And I just hope the Chiefs right now, and I don't think they will be, I hope the Chiefs aren't overlooking the Raiders like the Raiders overlooked the Jets, because they have that big game that's looming with the New England Patriots in a week. I mean, people have been talking about that game, Josh, since the schedule came out, and immediately everybody goes, oh, we got to flex it, and immediately CBS protected that game, and they weren't giving up the Patriots and the Chiefs in Week 14. So that is a game that everybody is already looking forward to, and I'm sure this week people will start to talk about that game, the Chiefs and the Patriots next week. You just hope the Chiefs, and this is where the veteran leader of Andy Reid comes in, you don't overlook the Oakland Raiders, and you know you still have a game to play against a divisional opponent that could essentially put this division out of reach on Sunday that you can't overlook. This is the most important game coming up on the schedule, because if you lose this game to the Oakland Raiders, that game in New England really doesn't matter.
No, you're completely doing it to yourself if you don't win this game.
Right.
Like, you've put yourself in this position where this game pseudo matters.
Yeah.
You lose this game, then you have nobody to blame but yourself.
But yourself,
and looking in the mirror, and then you're going to have everybody questioning what's going on, and you're probably going to be questioning what's going
sure.
on if you're inside that locker room.
Because if you lose this game to the Raiders and then you go to New England and lose, now you're talking about a 6-loss team, and you're thinking to yourself, boy, a 10-6 team, you probably still may win the division, but that's not giving everybody a lot. But you may not, especially if you lose to the Raiders, right? You may not. And so as much as this game is Separation Sunday, as I'm going to start calling it, you can't overlook this game, and you can't think that you've already won this game because the Raiders are coming in off a loss to the Jets and you have New England in a week. This is the most important game on the schedule, because if you don't win this game, nothing really matters from here on out.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have to, if you're from their perspective, have a little pep talk. Okay, the Raiders weren't as bad as what they showed yesterday.
Right.
You might have to do some convincing of that, too, because they were bad.
They were bad yesterday. They were terrible yesterday.
Yeah, they were bad. And
that's Kramer, who was our resident Raider fan. He's
right.
Like, oh, no. They're bad.
They were bad. I mean, they were dropping passes. They couldn't stop Sam Darnold. They couldn't take a snap from center. They were committing penalties. The Jets were stopping them on third down, and they're brilliant on third down this year. Like, it was just a bad game all the way around. And if you're a member of this Chiefs organization and a player, you can't look at that game in New York and go, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk on Sunday. Because if you do, that's how you lose football games. That's how you get beat down in the NFL, taking somebody for granted, much like the Raiders did with the Jets.
Yeah, that looked like the overlook on their part.
Oh, it was
for
a
sure.
huge overlook.
It was cold and rainy in New York. It's supposed to be cold and rainy here. So, I mean, you know Derek Carr can't play in the cold weather here in Kansas City. So, I mean, Chiefs should be okay.
You're conceding this one already?
Well, no, then, I mean, if it's going to be raining, you also got to think they're going to run the ball. Oh, no, it's going to be 50-50, I feel like.
Yeah, I think it's over. The Chiefs are a 10-point favorite in this one.
Derek Carr is already planning on getting beat.
Well, yeah, and we better show up or they're going to beat us by 50, you know. They're a really good football team, one of the best in the NFL. So hopefully our guys, myself included, when we show up to Arrowhead, you know, a week from now, we're ready to go, and I believe that we will be.
Yeah, sure. You believe it. Yeah.
I trust him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sounded, with comments like that, how could you not buy it?
Very convincing, didn't he? Do you believe the division is over? One of the questions we're asking. Also, do you see 3 losses for the Ravens? I think it's what it's going to take for the Chiefs to capture that 2 seed. Couple of questions up for grabs, and time's yours. 913-576-7610. Time's yours. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Choices.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.